So Krista Glennie-Sechu wrote a fantastic article in the December issue of Spree talking about the history of our two favorite condiments, salt and pepper. And I was amazed by how interesting their history was. Can you talk a little bit about how salt plays a role in people's lives, you know, why it's necessary for our survival, and some of the history about salt?
Well, I am definitely not a biology major, but this guy named Mark Kurlansky has written a bunch of really great books that are very subject-focused, and one is called Salt, A World History, and in it he describes how without salt, our bodies would be unable to transport nutrients or oxygen or transmit nerve impulses or even move muscles like the heart, which is obviously imperative. So that's why salt was sort of at the center of a lot of drama pre-industrialization. In the article, I talk about the El Paso Salt War, which is where native mineral rights, that's hard to say, were waived by the Texas Constitution to the highest bidder. And that war lasted 11 years, and a lot of people were killed, and crops were lost, and all kinds of stuff. So since we've industrialized salt, those aren't really modern-day concerns for people, but they were for up until 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. So most foods, even sweet baked goods, taste bland without salt. Why is that? How does salt enhance flavor?
Well, from what I understand, salt in small amounts reduces bitterness and increases food's natural sugars or sweetness and its umami. Mm-hmm. For anybody who doesn't know what umami is, it's the fifth taste. So there's sour, sweet, salty, and bitter, and then umami. And umami is the tongue's ability to taste glutamates, like soy sauce is a perfect example. And so small amounts of salt improve that. And so it's great for desserts or even savory dishes that have a high sugar content, like roasted carrots. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit of salt really pumps that up. But in large amounts, salt suppresses sweetness and then really amps up umami, like intensely. And that's obviously ideal for savory dishes. Like think about why you salt a roast beef before you put it in the oven. Salt it heavily, or a steak, you salt heavily. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, to get the flavor going.
Right.
Likewise, pepper has a fascinating history. What is it? Where does it come from? And how did it make its way to our tables?
So pepper is basically a berry, and whatever kinds of pepper you have generally comes from the same exact plant. So white pepper, long-tail peppers, and green peppers and black peppercorns all come from the same plant. The big difference is what time they're picked and how they're treated after they're picked. But for humans, pepper consumption isn't a life or death situation like it is with salt. But it was really highly prized by the Romans. It was like fundamental to their diet. They kind of like had this weird stew thing they made with like rotten fish and pepper, black pepper.
Sounds
and they put
delicious.
It on, yeah, they put it on literally everything. And so it could stand in just like salt, in terms of, bartering or trading, like it was money.
Like fish sauce a little bit.
Yes. Well, the pepper itself was used at like money because it was so highly prized. So I think that readers should probably catch up on the rest of pepper's history by actually reading the article in Spree. But black pepper is sort of falling out of favor with a lot of people, especially chefs, outside of its use in some pretty untraditional formats, which brings up, you know, Chef Joseph Finish's strawberry dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised to see. It's a beautiful photograph. I hope, you know, listeners will go take a peek at it. And it's a strawberry tart that calls for black pepper. How does pepper work in a dessert?
Well, interestingly, it really plays up the sweetness, right, which we already sort of talked about with salt. Pepper can do the same thing. Pepper really, on strawberries, pepper makes strawberries taste like candy. So it really, really works well with strawberries. And that's kind of classic, but Joseph's recipe is a wonderful mix of sweet and savory flavors, which is really on trend. It's not even on trend anymore. It's become a whole movement, this sweet and savory play, which happens both in desserts and in main courses like entrees and appetizers. So Joe's recipe is for this tart dough that's made with black pepper. And then it's covered with strawberry mascarpone, and then strawberries and roasted beets are dressed in black pepper and honey and olive oil, and all of those things are put onto the tart. And it's really this inspired dish that kind of toes the line again between salt and savory, spicy and sweet. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, you wouldn't think to put pepper in a sweet dish, but that sounds amazing. you know, with Christmas coming up and the holidays, people might want to try new recipes. Do you have any recommendations or favorite ways to use salt and pepper in maybe unconventional ways?
Well, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about pepper making strawberries taste like candy, and you and I have talked privately about how pepper really blows the socks off of acidic fruit. Mm-hmm. So we talked about pineapple tossed in olive oil with salt and pepper and a little fresh mint. Any type of acidic fruit, pepper really, really makes sing. For people who might want to kind of see how Joe's recipe works without the labor of Joseph's mm-hmm. recipe, you can do a classic, which is vanilla ice cream with fresh strawberries, balsamic vinegar, and pepper. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty standard. It has been since balsamic became popular in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty classic dish. But salt is really, really fantastic in dessert. And I like to use a heavy-handed amount of salt in my desserts, right? Because we all know that chocolate chip cookies and bread and all those things require a pinch of salt. But if you really go bananas with the salt, it actually makes everything more satisfying. And so you eat less and it's more enjoyable. At least that's my opinion. Because it kind of works as an underpinning to all of the sugar that's there and just makes things bolder. And the best example of that is why when you have toast in the morning, if you put salted butter and jam, it's a more delightful mouth experience than if you eat unsalted butter and jam. Mm-hmm. So, but Ed Forrester, Chef Edward Forrester, has a recipe in this issue as well that uses a salt dough or a salt crust to roast vegetables. It's traditionally used to roast fish. Mm-hmm. But Ed has figured out a way to infuse that salt dough with flavor and then to also roast vegetables in it. So it's wintertime, and if you like roasted vegetables or root vegetables, this is a really cool way to kind of like change that up and do something different.
And he has a workable ratio, so if you just want to, you know, put your foot in the water, you can make a small amount to roast something small or a large amount to, you know, roast a whole fish or a big amount of root vegetables.
Yeah, Ed's recipes are almost always ratios, and that can be challenging the first time you do it, but then you get to see the beauty of it after you get used to it. It's really so scalable that it makes life a whole lot easier.
Well, thank you, Krista. I'm glad we've learned a little bit more about salt and pepper, and we'll use it creatively during the holiday season.
Thanks, Wendy.